The federal opposition's opaque position on the Adani mine in Queensland has shown some signs of becoming clearer this week. Bill Shorten is spending time in regional Queensland, pledging money for infrastructure projects and announcing a coal miner as a candidate for the next election. Today he said that Labor can support the coal industry while still questioning the Adani project, which, 2,000 kilometres away in Batman, is a massive issue. Anthony Albanese is the Shadow Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development. He's also my guest on RN Drive. Welcome.
Good to be with you, Patricia.
Now, Bill Shorten has said repeatedly that Labor will support the mine if it stacks up. What does that mean? Paint us a picture of the scenario where the ALP backs the Adani mine.
Well, Patricia, you're asking the wrong question because the fact is that the Adani mine has been approved by the EPBC, approvals not once but twice. It was approved firstly and then they made a decision that what they would need to do is to re-examine it in light of any potential impact on the Great Barrier Reef, and again it was approved. It's received its state approvals. Both of those rounds of approvals, by the way, under coalition governments, not Labor governments. What we've said, though, and what the conservation movement said to me repeatedly was this project doesn't stack up unless it gets some public subsidy through the rail line. Now, we ensured that would not occur, and indeed the Queensland Labor government has also said that they won't support that subsidy. And hence what we have is a project that doesn't have any finance, doesn't have finance here in Australia, has been unable to raise funds in the US, unable to raise funds in China. And therefore, it's hard to see this project going ahead because of the economics of the project.
Okay, so if they sort out the economics, you talked about all the approval processes.
Well, economics is the way that private sector operations
run. Sure,
and
they're you're saying it's contingent on
or
that.
They're not.
So the question still stands, if it becomes economically viable, then Labor would have to support it under your rationale.
But that's absurd. That's the wrong question.
It's my question. I ask the questions here. It's not the wrong question.
Yeah, and it's wrong because it's already been approved. The question that you might ask is, would Labor go through a process of rewriting the Environmental Protection, Biodiversity and Conservation Act? Will we rewrite the way that environmental legislation is conducted in this country? And certainly, there's been no suggestion from Labor that that is something that we should do.
So you don't think that you should rewrite the environmental process?
What we think is good policy happens when you establish good proper settings, be it in terms of energy, the renewable energy target, having a price on carbon, putting in place the policy framework, which then drives the change across the economy. That's the way you drive a change to a clean energy economy. What you don't do is single out particular projects and then retrospectively change existing law, which would have ramifications across the board. And we haven't suggested at any stage that we would do that. What we've said very clearly is because of what's happening in the global thermal coal market, which includes, by the way, India saying that they will not import coal after the next few years, is that there's not a market for this.
So you're saying that the project is dead, so it doesn't matter what your position is. That's what you're telling me.
It's not up to me to say that. I'm saying that very clearly the economics of the project haven't stacked up. Otherwise, the financing would have occurred. Otherwise, any one of the many deadlines which have been established by the company where they've said we will start certain operations by particular dates would have been met. The fact is they haven't been met. The financing isn't in place for the project.
Shadow Resources Minister Jason Clare, in response, has said that Labor is not in the business of ripping up contracts. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. The federal Labor Party is in the business of making sure that you have proper policy settings in place and that you can have proper economic policy operating as well. I mean, I do find it somewhat extraordinary that the Greens political party, who voted against having a price on carbon in 2009, which would have, of course, had an impact had the CPRS been in place on projects like this one because of the fugitive emissions that come from the mining sector, that they are belatedly, after the approvals have occurred, have been running a campaign a long way after the approvals had occurred, both federal and state.
The national convener of the Labor Environment Action Network, Felicity Wade, says that it's time for Labor to make its position on Adani clear. Have you made it unclear?
Well, what we've said very clearly is that Labor will put in place mechanisms to drive energy policy, to drive climate change policy, to move to a clean energy economy, and we'll do that.
But on Adani, I put a very specific question to you.
Across the economy. Well, no, you've put a position based upon that should have been put 5 years ago when it was being put before the EPBC Act.
So you're saying it's just too late, the horse has bolted on Adani?
No, we're not saying that. We're saying that the economics of the project mean that it is not proceeding because they haven't been able to get the financing of the project. And indeed, the conservation movement, what you can't have is people come through your door and say, if you stop this project getting public subsidy effectively for the rail line, then the project won't occur. That was the demand, certainly, in meetings that I had with the environmental movement. Labor made our position very clear on that, and that's appropriate.
Okay.
Because it is appropriate that the private sector operate the private economy, but the public sector, the government, determine whether there be any government subsidy for particular projects, and that the government put in place economy-wide policies and programs to drive the change that we want to see in the economy.
CFMEU National President Tony Maher says if you oppose Adani and win Batman, you'll end up losing seats in central Queensland. Is he right?
This isn't about the politics of the project. This is about getting the policy mechanisms right. What you can't do is look at any one electorate and say, this is why we are going to determine national policy on something like mining or energy or climate change action. What you have to do is to get the policy mechanisms right. And that's what we have done. We have, because of Labor's 20% by 2020 renewable energy target, in spite of the efforts of the government, it will be met. And when we determined that policy, I was the Environment Shadow Minister, the existing target at that point in time was 2. So it was a tenfold increase that we committed to.
Let's just talk about Batman. You've been campaigning with Jed Carney. You've built expectations that, you know, Labor's likely to win this seat. You've been campaigning there now. What do you think, after being on the ground, will Labor win that seat?
Well, I've had a very positive reaction with Jed Carney. She's a great candidate. She's someone who's been a nurse for 20 years. She understands the services sector. She understands people, and she understands that electorate. And certainly the reaction's been very positive. Jed's someone who has stood up for working people her whole life, both as a nurse, but then as
so
a
she'll
nurse
win that
union
seat?
Official. Well, I certainly hope that she will.
I know you hope she will. I'm asking whether she will in your assessment.
Well, you can never judge things until the ballot papers are in the box. But what we can say is that historically it's been a Labor seat. We've got a fantastic candidate who understands the electorate, who I think is a very good fit for the electorate. Last night at her campaign office opening, there were hundreds of people. They couldn't fit into the campaign office. Her volunteers are very committed, not just people inside the Labor Party. The great thing about a candidate like Jed Carney is that she's bringing in community activists, people from the environmental movement, the union movement, the feminist movement, who understand that she will be a voice in a Labor government, not someone sitting back waiting until decisions are made.
Okay.
And then trying to work out whether they'll have a protest about it or not.
The Home Affairs Minister, Peter Dutton, has spoken today at the press club. He wants school children of all cultural backgrounds to recite a US-style pledge of allegiance to uphold laws and people's rights. Do you support the idea?
Oh, look, it sounds like Peter Dutton really wanted to have something to say at the press club.
But after, do you support the idea?
After Tony Abbott preempted it last night. Well, already in New South Wales schools, Peter Dutton mightn't be aware of this. People sing both verses, by the way, the first two verses of the Australian National Anthem. They do that, and they do that regularly from the time that...
do you support a pledge?
What pledge? Again, this is a thought bubble from a minister who's had the former prime minister essentially try to bomb his portfolio in a speech to the Sydney Institute last night
that
he put in the papers yesterday
morning.
You
think the national anthem's enough?
Well, I'd wait and see what any proposal is, but I don't think you've got to identify what the problem is before you look for the solution. Is there a problem whereby...
Yeah, well, he's saying civics education should be stronger, Australian identity should be built. This is the framework.
Australian identity is very important, and Australian identity, from my experience, as someone who has a son who's about to finish school this year and who's gone through the public school system the whole way, has had good civics education, has had the national anthem at every assembly, at every event, has acknowledgement of country. There is a good, in my view, position in New South Wales in place as to what the national situation is. I'm not an expert on what happens in Victorian schools or Queensland schools for that matter, but I should imagine that similar things are in place in schools right around the nation.
Anthony Albanese, I'll let you go, but in Victoria, we're definitely singing the national anthem at the schools, I can tell you, or at least at my kids' school. Thanks so much for joining us.
And it's a fantastic thing that it happens.
Thank you. Well, sometimes the singing's a little lame. Oops, hopefully no one's listening. Thank you, Anthony Albanese, for joining us.
Think of the children.
Anthony Albanese is the Shadow Minister for Infrastructure, Transport, Cities and Regional Development. What do you make of the pledge that Peter Dutton, the Home Affairs Minister, has suggested? 0418 226 576 is the text line.